So we've been working our way through the Canons of Dort, celebrating the 400th anniversary of this document this year. And we're coming to the end. We're in the last head of doctrine. We've been focusing on, one author writes, instead of calling it the perseverance of the saints, the preservation of the saints. You might like that one instead. I like to add the perseverance of God for the saints is another way of saying the same thing. So we're focusing here on the work of the Spirit and conviction. And we looked at last week articles 5 and 6, which covers both the consequences of sin and the comfort of sovereign divine grace. So that's what we looked at last week. So when we come to now Article 7, it is there to answer the question, how does God preserve his children? What does God use? And we're actually Article 7 and 8 answer the question. Notice the answer begins with, he preserves in them the incorruptible seed of regeneration. If you have your Bibles, a couple passages which we find that support and encourage that thinking. One is written by Peter, the Holy Spirit through Peter, 1 Peter chapter 1, and in it he talks about how that is preserved. 1 Peter chapter 1 and verse 23. Having been born again, or regenerated, not of corruptible seed, but incorruptible, through the word of God, which lives and abides forever. And so the word of God, God speaks, he regenerates, he brings a dead person to life, and that which he has created in them, notice that word, incorruptible. He has begun that good work, will complete it. Also, another place you could turn back to James, a couple pages over, chapter 1, verse 21. Therefore, laying aside all filthiness and overflow of wickedness, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. The implanted word is one of the ways that the Lord uses to save us. And that salvation includes regeneration. An example of that would be David. The Lord convicted David through the prophet Nathan, through the word of God. And David, finally, after a year, I think it was about a year that he tried to ignore the conviction of God, broke before God. And we have Psalm 51 as his confession of sin. It is by his word and spirit that we read here. Notice that. Again, by his word and spirit, he certainly and effectually renews them to repentance, to a sincere and godly sorrow for their sins. Paul writes that there are two kinds of sorrow in the world. There's a sorrow that leads to death, and there's a sorrow that leads to life, a godly sorrow. God is the one who works that godly sorrow into our hearts, and he uses the word of God, that they may seek and obtain remission in the blood of the mediator, may again experience the favor of a reconciled God, through faith adore his mercies, and henceforth more diligently work out their own salvation with fear and trembling. So there he talks about not only that God through his mercy preserves us and works in us to show us our need for the Savior and embrace the Savior, but then the fruit of that is what he has for us. And so our lives are now again back restored to thankfulness for his redemption, for his forgiveness. And again, that's a fresh application of that grace. So it's not, well, 20 years ago, 40 years ago, whatever, but it's God. You showed me mercy today. Your love to me today. So you notice we do that every Sunday. Right? Every Sunday, part of the worship service is coming before the Lord, being convicted and confessing our sins, being reminded and embracing the grace of God in Christ, right? Do we do that? Do you do that during the week? Do you have in your devotions? Do you go before the Lord, open the Word of God, as it says, and submit to the Spirit as He convicts you of sin, and break before the Lord and confess your sins and look to Jesus as your Savior? Or another way of saying it, do you preach the gospel to yourself during the week? Oh, I've already heard the gospel. I don't need to hear that anymore. No. We bring the gospel back to bear on our own lives, on our children's lives, in the lives of others. Praise God for His mercy to us. Notice in Article 8, but it is of God's free mercy. But God, who is rich in mercy, right? Ephesians chapter 2. Notice it is by God's free mercy they neither totally fall from faith or grace or continue and perish finally in their backslidings. Praise God for that. But with respect to God, and I love this. Again, the summary is on the source of perseverance, and that is God's free mercy and grace. The statement is, we are so weak in ourselves, but yet God is so strong and so powerful. Do you believe it? You confessed it earlier when you said, I believe in God the Father Almighty, right? Is He Almighty for you? Is He Almighty to save you? Do you believe it? Do you rest in it? Does it affect your life? I pray that it does. Amen.